The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
We have a compassionate shepherd who left the 99 to come after us when we were the one who was abandoned and alone and forgotten. I think we're all called to do that for one person in our community, in our world. Find one person who's suffering and alone and forgotten, who feels too broken to be loved, and say, I was too broken to be loved, but Jesus on that cross loved me back to life again.
Next, Ann Voskamp asks, what do you do with brokenness in your life?
I'll tell you what, I can tell you like our guest, and Ann Voskamp is here. The Broken Way. Now, she's a New York Times bestseller. She's a tremendous writer, and she has the gift to write. We would call it divine enabling, a gift of God, from God, for the glory of God and the benefit of everybody who will take advantage of what's being sown in your behalf. But she calls The Broken Way a daring path into abundant life. She seems to understand that. So why don't we let her talk about what she's put in this incredible book that's in the bookstores. You can go online and get it. I suggest you do it because it's a way to abundant life. Abundant life. Abundant life when you don't have abundance of stuff, but you've got abundant life. Would you welcome Ann Voskamp?
I'm glad to see you. Are you comfortable here with us?
I am.
I told everybody in the audience you got on some Texas boots here.
We got our boots together here.
That's right. Now, okay, I kind of talked about this title. Mm-hmm. How do you define brokenness?
I think brokenness, like all ancient true truths, it's paradoxical. There's brokenness that is detrimental. That impedes deep flourishing, which I call throughout the book bad brokenness. And then there's good brokenness, the brokenness of humility, mm-hmm. of vulnerability, of being broken and given generosity. So I think I came to realize that good brokenness, the brokenness of humility, of vulnerability, of generosity, being broken and given, breaks bad brokenness in the world. So how can we, when I looked at places in the world where there was brokenness that was impeding flourishing, brokenness that was detrimental, how can my good brokenness step into that place and break the bad brokenness? My first memory is the memory of my younger sister being killed in front of my mother and I in our home farmyard. And my mother was hospitalized in psych wards throughout my teenage years. I cut myself all through my teenage years. The book opens with that. And that even as I hit 40, trying to process feelings of failure, how do I deal with parts of my life that were still broken? And so stepping into, we each have, the front cover of the book has a bucket. We each have a container that's the whole of our life. We just don't know how big that container actually is, how many days we actually have. Our daughter, Shalom, had wanted to know, how long do we get to live, Mama? Mm. And I had said, oh, well, if the Lord gives you 70 years, that works out to about 25,550 kernels of wheat, so many days, which was four cups of wheat. And I put it in a mason jar on a counter right by the sink there, and I wanted us to see, these are the days that you have to live on earth. How do you live with a broken heart? How do you live with pain and suffering in the world? How do you live an abundant life in the midst of that? And realizing that, again, it's paradoxical. Those kernels of wheat, if they are broken like seed in the earth, in broken ground, if the sky breaks over top of them and rains, they will yield a great abundance. And I think the entire broken way was, how do I live broken and given, that good brokenness, in a world of bad brokenness. And not to be afraid of broken things. In my own life, my own brokenness, that I could take that to the cross. How could I not be afraid of brokenness in the world? I think we see so much suffering in the world, so much need in the world, and after a while we can get numb and hard to that and turn away from that. I think if we choose to take the dare into the broken way, it's, I'm not afraid of broken things. I'm not afraid of my own brokenness, and I'm not afraid of brokenness and suffering in the world anymore. And I really realized that all of the fears in my life were because somewhere along the way, I was afraid of brokenness. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to be afraid of broken things because Christ is redeeming everything. There's a resurrection and abundance happening in those broken places.
Absolutely. And don't you think that all of us will experience that broken heart, whatever it is in life?
We do.
It's just what we do with it, or allow God to do it in our life.
None of us can afford not to think about what will I do with the brokenness, mm-hmm. because brokenness is going to happen for all of us. Yes, exactly.
Is pain seen as a friend when that pain causes you to avoid the catastrophic consequences of ignoring it? Did God not build that into our very nervous system as warnings of something impending so that you can appreciate the fact that He gave you a warning? Do you think that brokenness ever heads us away from what could be rightly considered catastrophic devastation if we respond to that crushing effect properly?
I think it's always, how do we respond to the broken places? How do we respond to pain and suffering? It's our response that can either lead us into darker places, or that response can push us closer to Jesus. I think sometimes the cold, the pain, the dark, the suffering, can actually be what pushes us to the heat, the fire of Christ's love. So I think if too often we try to escape from the pain and the suffering, instead of sitting in it and saying, we're meant to, too often as Christians, we judge our feelings as opposed to, we're meant to feel our feelings exactly as they come. Okay. To feel the feelings. Emotion means we feel, and then there's motion involved in that. We're supposed to feel our feelings and then let those feelings move us closer to God. Yeah. So go ahead and feel the pain and the suffering. And then what do I do with that? What's my response to that? Let it push me closer into the cross. Because I really realized, James, what I wanted more than anything with the shape of my days, those 25,550 kernels, if in 1,000 gifts I counted blessings, the broken way, I'm counting days. What do I do with the time I've been given? I really want the shape of those days to be cruciform, to take that pen that I wrote all the things I was grateful for and to write a cross on my wrist every day. I wanted the shape of my days to be cruciform, which is broken and given out into the world. That cross looks like a symbol of brokenness, of suffering, but it's the symbol of resurrection and transformation. So I think it's all upside down kingdom. It's paradoxical to what we think should be the way. The way isn't necessarily strength, but Scripture tells us that in our weakness, He is strong. Step into those broken places and let the cross get all the glory.
And I feel like if everyone could see, and I've got to believe that what you're saying, the broken way, is to put those pieces and the pain and what you don't understand into the Master's hands and let Him shape us.
He takes all of those broken pieces of our hearts and makes a mosaic of grace. And I think too often we think that those broken pieces of our heart, really, it's proof of how much we've loved. Those tears, it's proof of how deeply we have loved. The brokenness He will make into abundance if we'll take it to the cross.
That's powerful. Mm-hmm. Powerful. You've done a curriculum around this. Explain that. I mean, is it like a syllabus and DVDs that you could use in a home Bible study or church Bible study or a whole church study sessions?
Yep, six session DVD.
Where do you find out about this? Is there
again,
a website?
Again, at thebrokenway.com.
Thebrokenway.com.
And it's all filmed.
Why do you do all that? Why do you go all that trouble to do all this teaching like that? What is it that makes you do that? because I know what goes into that. What do you see happening as a result of somebody getting this, having questions, having concerns, having interest, and then you do this? What are you trying to accomplish?
I guess I resonate deeply with broken hearts, people walking through deep brokenness and feeling desperately alone. What do you do with your brokenness? They don't want cliche and pat answers. They want someone to walk alongside of them. And I believe withness breaks brokenness.
Withness.
And God says, my name is Emmanuel, God with us. I think a lot of time in suffering, we don't want an explanation from God as much as we want an experience with God. And the withness breaks brokenness. I hope stepping into that curriculum, I think everyone's going to face suffering and brokenness. It's a question that not only do we have to face personally, but society as a whole is saying, where is God in all of this brokenness and all of this suffering and all of this pain? And I think we want to find real answers that meet the hard places with honest, authentic answers.
Well, and it's a journey.
It is a journey.
It really is.
It's a way.
When you're broken, when your heart is broken, it takes time to heal.
It does.
And it is a walk, and you have to grab
onto. And you know what? Time doesn't heal wounds.
Mm-mm.
God
heals
wounds.
That's right.
And how are we going to step into those broken places and let wounds are healed by other wounds? How do you take your wounds and press them into the wounds of Christ and let Christ heal those wounds? So I hope people, if they're willing to take that dare to step into the broken way, it really is, how do I find meaning with my life? How do I multiply my time? How do I really live a life of abundance in the midst of brokenness?
You were saying, what were you saying a while ago about not absence, so nobody's there. What was the term?
Withness breaks brokenness.
Withness. You may be amazed at this, but to those of you who are watching, one of the, let's say, the most frequent calls that comes to the prayer center. And I got to tell you, I'm really glad of this. You say, well, there's no support coming there. There's no, well, see, 80% of the calls that come to that number that goes up there right now, 80% of them. I don't care if we're trying to rescue 1,000 people with an immediate assistance to save their very lives. 80% of those calls will still be me. And it's the witness. Many call, they'll call in and they say, I didn't have anybody to talk to. And I wanted to talk to somebody that would, I feel like really pray for me. Just somebody that's with me. And, you know, I talk about the Holy Spirit a lot. And how the power of the Holy Spirit's here. But we really feel better when the Holy Spirit's dressed up in somebody. I mean, you know, ghosts, even Holy Ghost, can be pretty foreign until he's dressed up. This is what people are longing for. It's what I'm sitting here listening to. I feel like I'm listening to somebody who cares. And I think everybody watching says she cares. This witness. We're watching life today because we're with you. If you were in the studio, you'd know we're with you. If you were eating a meal with me and Betty, you'd know we're with you. If you dumped all the garbage of your life in front of us, you'd say they're going to try to help me cover it. They're going to try to pick me up out of it. You got it. That's it. Exactly who we are. You did something recently. You went overseas.
I did.
You brought somebody back. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Tell our viewers. What did you do?
As my husband and I, our family, chose to really live the broken way, chose to live broken and given in the midst of our own brokenness.
With six children.
Crazy children. We have 4 boys and 2 girls. We just really realized, I believe that we're all really like Esthers. We live in the palace. We have been given so much.
Yeah.
We're called for such a time as now to be broken and given for those outside the gate. That's what we're called to do. And so my husband and I, we have adopted a little girl. Her name is Shiloh, like Hannah, who went to Shiloh. For this child, I have prayed. I went to China and adopted a little girl. Shiloh has literally a broken heart. She is half a heart.
Literally, physically, half a heart.
She is single ventricle, single atrium heart. And she was abandoned beside a river when she was 4 days old. And came to a foster home in Beijing run by a young 25-year-old woman from Oklahoma. who looks for little ones abandoned because they have broken hearts. And Shiloh had blue fingers, blue lips, blue toes. And we brought Shiloh home, and she had open heart surgery 4 weeks ago now. And just realizing that I have a broken heart. We all have broken hearts. And somebody needs to come and enter into our sufferings. Christ says that we meet him and we have deep communion with him when we enter into the sufferings of Christ, when we don't turn away from the brokenness in the world. Even though we feel broken ourselves, Christ is in us and allows us to step out, even in our own brokenness, to someone else in their brokenness. And there's deep communion and healing and shalom. Her middle name is Shalom. Shiloh Shalom. There's great healing and wholeness in the midst of the brokenness.
In her first surgery, how has it progressed percentage-wise?
So Shiloh, it's a three-step series of heart surgeries that are still palliative, but don't fix us. We all deserve to be loved exactly where we are. So when Shiloh came home from China, her oxygen saturation levels were, when she cried, in the 50s, and baseline was in the 60s, and now we're seeing mid-80s for oxygen saturation levels, and we're just so grateful. But I think we have a compassion meaning co-suffering. We have a compassionate shepherd who left the 99 to come after us when we were the one who was abandoned and alone and forgotten. I think we're all called to do that for one person in our community, in our world. Find one person who's suffering and alone and forgotten, who feels too broken to be loved, and say, I was too broken to be loved, but Jesus on that cross loved me back to life again. Amen. The only person who have loved me to death and back to life again, and I can love with his love to you in your own brokenness. Amen.
You just, this is the love and life of God in you. I don't know, you know, a lot of times the people that'll feel the most broken are Christians who failed.
Exactly.
And know they failed.
Exactly.
And when they know they failed, yes, and they've disappointed everybody they ever didn't want to disappoint, mm-hmm, and they look out and say, is there any love for this broken, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, with self-inflicted misery or pain or shortcomings, mm-hmm, or wickedness or sin? Mm-hmm. I just got to tell you, there's a Savior that will pick you up out of the filthiest pit that you dug with your own, yes, misdeeds and rebellion. Yes.
And then repair your heart. After he picks you up, he will say, even though you feel like a too broken vessel to be used, I will go ahead and leak love out into the world through all your brokenness.
That's right. The Lord, just let everybody right now that just feels this love flowing. I pray, Lord, if they just need to reach out and touch somebody by making a call and say, pray with me, then, Lord, I pray they'll do it. And I pray many will read the book, Brokenness, and it'll do the Bible study and avail themselves of the opportunity. And thank you for Ann, in Jesus' name. Ann, we're going to talk to you in another program. We're going to bring another broken vessel to join us in that program, and that's Sheila Walt. She says, you know, here I come, lady, to minister to you from the psych ward. She's just such a treasure. The book is in the bookstores. I'll just tell you what, Ann, we got a lot of little broken vessels right now. We've been trying to reach out to them all over the world for a long time, whether they're hungry or thirsty.
Exactly.
We got a lot of little feet right now that need some shoes for Christmas. And we started with our viewers telling us, we like that. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's give these kids something for Christmas that they've never had. Let's give them a pair of shoes that's adjustable. They can wear a few years, and they really will wear well. And so we're trying to give 150,000 kids some shoes for Christmas. And then we're trying to give cleft palate surgeries to give them a smile. And I want you to look at this. It says others are calling for prayer, knowing that God, He heals the broken heart in the way only He can heal it. And then you can be a healing factor when you receive that. But if you'll help us give some shoes and some smiles, I think when you see this, you're going to say, count me in. I'm going to do it. Watch very closely.
From your family to our family, your generosity has empowered Life's mission efforts around the world. And the look on these children's faces make the impact obvious. It's in the smile of Mateo as he receives a bowl of food made possible by your giving, or of Gabriella as she quenches her thirst from a clean water well that you helped drill. You could even say you make it your business to give children smiles. Well, this Christmas, we'd like to give a smile to someone who might not easily be able to smile otherwise. You see, All over the world, there are children who have trouble smiling because they were born with a cleft lip or palate. But a simple surgery by loving doctors can radically transform the appearance of children like these and greatly improve their quality of life. But they won't be the only ones smiling this Christmas. Because with your help, we also want to give a brand new pair of shoes to children who have never had them.
You can see all of the little ones. Honestly, the smiles on their faces is so exciting to be a part of this. You can look around at all of the children in this village, and most of them are without shoes. They could lose their very lives because of an infection that they could get on their feet.
Help make this Christmas special for a child like this. Help us provide Christmas shoes and smiles.
Boy, you know, I don't ever want to come across like a beggar. But if I ever beg, I want it to be in behalf of those who really need someone to plead their cause. I look at all those pretty little children, Betty, and think how much we've loved them and loved holding them. And you've enabled us to hold them. You've sent us to the mission field. You support the missionaries. Several thousand missionaries right now in Africa that you make possible. Several thousand. And then you don't leave them empty-handed. And right now, all over the world, 150,000 little feet we want to put shoes on because the missionaries got our attention to their area. They said, we got some real issues here. So I don't want to sound like a beggar, but here's what I ask you to do. I just want you to give the greatest gift you can give right now. First, you pray. But if you could give 10 children a pair of shoes, that's $36. They're $360 a pair. And they're all weather. They're like Crocs, very, very much the same. You pay a lot of money for them here. But they're very similar, and they do expand to fit different sizes as they grow. They can grow into them a little bit. And they're very good protection, and they don't wear out, not easily at all. So just give all you can. If you could give 50 kids a pair of shoes, that's $180. We're going to send you a beautiful Christmas gift with six little shoes over the 6 years that we've been doing this. A different one made every year. And then a special one this year, the little blue one that is the new edition. And it's like this. It comes in a beautiful little felt package. But it's also one of the six because it's the sixth one. And if you could give us some smiles, at $500 a smile for some of those beautiful little faces that they don't look pretty.
And James, that's what I want to encourage them to do, the smiles. You know, if it's heartbreaking when we hear a child crying because they're hurting, but it's heartwarming when we see a child smile. I want to see a lot of smiles on these children's faces because they deserve to be able to smile because they can. So I hope you will reach into your heart and ask God what you can do to put some smiles on these children's faces.
And I promise you, when you put a smile on those little children's faces, you put a smile on that mom and those parents and that family. This is the last week that you're going to have an opportunity to help us this year with the Christmas smiles and Christmas shoes. And so let's do it together. Like Betty said, let's do it. Just to go to lifetoday.org and use your bank card. If you could give $1,000 for two smiles, would you do it? And I know that may be a real stretch. And then again, I know I'm talking to someone who could give several thousand dollars. And can I just say this? Thank you. Many of you, you overwhelm us. And a lot of people are leaving Life Outreach in their estate. There are many people right now thinking, you know what? I've got pretty big insurance policies. When I leave here, I'd like that money goes, or I've accumulated some things, and I want that to go on forever in impacting lives. And you can do that, and there's information on how you can contact, and you know what we'll do? Show how to save your family a lot of money and bless you and enable you to give. But don't forget that. There's a level at which every one of you watching can give. Lifetoday.org or dial the number. Take your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life. But we need you to call us and tell us you're sending it because we've got to let the missionaries know the shoes are on the way. They're paid for. And Betty and I can't pay for all of them. All right? We do our part. You do your part sharing God's heart. Will you do that? Lifetoday.org or dial the number. Thank you so much for the gift. We have some gifts to bless you. But boy, you're blessing people with the gift of love. And it never fails.
Poverty is a killer. And because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 150,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pair. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. With your gift of any amount, be sure to request this beautifully crafted blue metal shoe ornament, a treasure to place on your tree each holiday season. With your gift of $180 or more, you may also request this keepsake boxed set of Life's Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request our Majesty bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, Betty and I just say thank you. I'll tell you what we'd like to do. You help us with some shoes, and you want this book, we'll send it to you. Say thanks. Because you've expressed love, and you've healed someone's brokenness, and that we'll send it to you. This is the last week that you're going to have an opportunity to help us this year with the Christmas smiles and Christmas shoes. Let me tell you, it means a lot that you help us share God's love the way you do. And I hope you never stop. Would you say thanks to Ann Vastow? Thank all of you. Listen, thank all of you. Now listen to me. All of you here, if you haven't voted, go vote. All of you watching, go vote. Okay? If it's early in the morning, start praying for everyone to vote. Do you realize that not to vote is actually to cast a vote for the person you have the least confidence in? That's what you actually do. So let the principles guide your vote. To find principled people are people who are willing to learn what matters, and they're willing to be changed by principles and truth. God bless you. Go vote. Thank y'all for being here.
Tomorrow, Bible teacher and author Sheila Walsh helps us understand that grace is our universal need before God, no matter your story.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.